Speaking of specific, there are few occupations where specificity is as important as architecture, which is possibly one reason why you appreciate a beautiful building so much. And here in Chicago, there are so many places and ways that you can look at something and say, how did they do that? Or why did they do that? Just driving to work, as I do, just coming down, if I come down Foster Street, there are little details on buildings where I think to myself, well, how did they do that? And why did they do that? Which is one great thing about the Chicago Architecture Center. They help you answer those questions and appreciate things you might not even have noticed about our architecture. So it's interesting to find out that there is going to be something called the 2024 Architecture and Design Film Festival. And to tell us about that, I would like to introduce you to Ms. Eleanor Gorski. She is the president and CEO of the Chicago Architecture Center. Welcome, Ms. Gorski. Thank you for being with us.
Hi. Thank you, Tori. This is an honor to be here with you today.
Tell me about this film festival. Is it just films that we normally would see that have cool architecture in them, or is it films about architecture?
Ooh,
or how did they build that building, or how did they build that, design that stuff,
yeah,
or about the lives of great? Where does this begin?
Well, that's a great question. This is our second year doing this, and this film festival is actually an international festival, and it's shown in multiple cities, major cities around the globe. And different filmmakers vie for the honor of being included in the film fest. So it's not typically commercial movies. Like, we all know The Fugitive and try to identify the Chicago buildings that are in that movie, right?
Right.
That's a different type of film fest we would have. But that gives me an idea we should do something like that. But this is really new films, old films that are focused specifically on designers, the creative process. And what we have curated this year locally is looking at design in a larger context, basically how it influences our everyday life, like you described in the opening, as well as the emotions that architecture gives you, how it forms your everyday routines and how you go about those routines.
As one often must do when listening to the radio, one must, and don't do this if you're driving, one must slap one's forehead and say to oneself, I didn't even know they made movies like that. What kind of movies are these? Are these movies about, and I'm familiar, for example, with movies about Frank Lloyd Wright and his life, and I'm a little less familiar but aware of movies about designs for public housing that were meant to make a statement about the value of shelter for people who didn't have a lot of money. But what manner of films are these? What are they?
Yeah, sure. I can give you a few examples, and I'm really excited about our opening night film. There will be 20 shown starting on January 31st, and the 31st is our opening at the center. We'll have two theaters that will be showing main films, and then downstairs in the center, we will have a series of shorts that are just 10 shorts that are very quick, and that is free and open to the public. There is a charge for the main films upstairs. But our opening night film is called Low Tech, and this is about an architecture firm. There are actually two Italians that studied in Italy and then came to the U.S. They teach at Columbia University, but their practice is centered around repurposing industrial and infrastructure containers and leftover parts, most recently shipping containers. Everyone has seen those and how they're reused, mainly for retail stores and other outlets in urban settings. And they had an example of their work in the Chicago Architectural Biennial, and a shipping container project is in the Chicago Cultural Center. So you can not only see a film about their creative process, you can see an actual project almost right across the street from the center. And
actually get a shipping container somehow wedged into the Chicago Cultural Center?
They did. And that building is an older building. It was built as a library, so yes. It's built like a tank.
I was married in that building back. I used
so
to.
So you know it well.
I do. It was always my favorite building as a child. And I used to, this story actually is my one story of Chicago clout is in my book, but the short version is, by then it was the cultural center. I'd hounded my mother as a kid to get married in it. She said, it's the library. You can't get married in there. And by the time that I was ready to get married, which was decades ago, they tried to tell me I couldn't because I was going to have a religious ceremony. And from there, my only little piece of Chicago clout got used. And I did, in fact, get married. Now you can. But, I love that building. But I'd be worried that a shipping container would whack into the Tiffany Mosaic. How did they get a shipping container into the cultural center?
Well, it's small. It's not a full-size shipping container.
Okay.
And it's actually been devised as a stage for a single performer.
Okay.
So it's just a sample of what they do.
Okay.
But that's an example of one of the films. It traces their creative process and looks at some of their projects. And another kind of interesting human interest story that ties directly to Chicago, you have seen around the city are glass and steel skyscrapers that are modern. This came out of the tradition of Mies van der Rohe, who came from Germany in the 1950s to build these skyscrapers and teach at the Illinois Institute of Technology, now known as IIT or Illinois Tech. This is a story about his family that he actually ended up leaving behind in Germany to come here and do that work, and them reconciling what it's like to have a famous parent like this and his architecture. And it provides the human interest behind a lot of these great architects and the works they create. So it's those are two examples about architecture. But we also
I'm going to pause you and ask you. I mean, we all know that Frank Lloyd Wright was a great architect and kind of a rotten husband. If you don't know, just consider the fact that he built the family home and then a couple blocks away, he built a house for his mistress. So, yeah. I had no idea that Mies van der Rohe had abandoned. I thought he was Dutch. I don't know why I thought that, but I had no idea that he had abandoned his family to come here.
Sounds like I'm going to see you at that film.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to meet you there.
So this is like a whole deep festering sore in the van der Rohe family. They expose all. No.
I wouldn't go that far. You know, these folks, these are artistic temperaments, and the people who grew up with these great artists and architects, they learn to live with these personalities. So I wouldn't say it's going to be this tell-all, but I'm sure there are certainly going to be emotions exposed in this. But I think it gives us insight as to the challenges that these families and these architects face, too.
I was
the
just
human side of it.
Reading about one of these very famous architects whose longtime companion, mistress, was a very well-regarded landscape architect. And she did not get the credit she deserved. And again, I guess the file for this is the Joan Baez quote about Bob Dylan, an artist and nuisance to live with at home, I believe is the quote. I'm probably misquoting, but yeah.
It's funny you bring that up, though, because we do have a film by that architect's son that I don't know how much it goes into. That's Louis Kahn, who you're referencing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a film by his son, and he will actually be here to talk about it. So that's another one that I hope you and your audience will join us at, because, yes, he had a lover. He had a wife. He had two families. So these architects not only produced great work, but, you know, had many different facets to their lives. So anyway, we have something for everyone. The one other film I do want to mention.
I have to ask, because this came right from Andy. My Architect, A Son's Journey. Whose film?
That's it.
That's the one.
Good
to have educated people in this place. Okay, so that's another film, that is going to be shown. And so if people want to go to the big fancy main film, I almost hate to say this to you, but sometimes I find that the events of the Chicago Architecture Center are a little above the budgets of many people. So I'm going to have to ask you, how much to go to the main event films that you are justifiably proud of showing?
Yeah, it's $20 for members, and it's $30 if you're not a member, just a member of the public. But remember, there is also a pre-showing of shorts that are on the first floor, and that's our Chicago gallery. It also highlights our model of downtown Chicago, tells you about the history of Chicago. So that is free and open to the public. Anyone can come in.
What about student things, senior things, any opportunities for people who might not have $40 to go with a friend to a showing? Is there any opportunity for them to see it for less?
You know what? We don't have that now, but let me see what I can work out. Go to our website at filmfest.architecture.org, and we will be updating that and look for discounts.
Good.
Thank you for suggesting that.
I think a lot of students cannot afford that. I mean, not to cast shade here. You guys do great work. I'm grateful for what you do. I don't want to, but you know, I happen to know some students who are like beans and rice, and you know, maybe getting down there on the CTA is what they can manage. So, and you want them to love the city, and you want them to have the same appreciation that you all have and have developed over the years. So thank you for considering that. That would be great for people who want to go. I love it, for example, that even if you're a community college student in this town and you take one class, did you know you can go to the Museum of Contemporary Art for free if you are a student?
I didn't know that.
Well, there you go.
That's
and I
know
that I've got a kid in Canada at school, just finished at University of Toronto up there, and the fine arts organizations, it's practically free if you are under 25. So I'm just putting that out there, just saying.
Thank you. I think that's great.
Important that you want support from these people. So, okay, let's back to the movies here. So you got two main features, and those are, let's go through those quickly, about the Italians with the shipping containers. And what's the other one? What's the other? Is the Mies one?
Right. That's by the design studio Low Tech. And then we have, like I said, the Mies family, the Mies van der Rohe's, plural. Those are the two films that we're really promoting, and especially the Mies van der Rohe's because of the Chicago connection.
Sure.
But then others, you know, we have a movie about housing. One of the older movies that we have is called Emotional Architecture, and this talks about how architecture actually influenced this couple in love. And their surroundings, promoting that, which I think is lovely as well. It's, again, one of our older ones. And then we have one on design by Elliot Noyes. It documents his influence on IBM and designing modernism in terms of corporate logos, corporate design. And they were early precursors to Apple and all kind of that high-tech stuff that we have today.
That is very cool. Are you going to have some people come in to talk about, one of the things I love the most is your Architecture River cruises. And I love the docents, because when you are on the boat, every ride is different, and they each focus on different things that they love the most. Are there any films around Chicago that are in the works, in progress, that are covering some of the radical architectural changes that we're seeing now?
Oh, about Chicago itself, I would say no. None of these are particularly dealing with Chicago, but what they all share is kind of the modernism that led into a lot of the designs that we now see in Chicago. Like I said, the film by Noyes, Modernism, Inc., talks about a lot of the industrial design we see. There's a movie about called Best in the World that deals about a city, and is it really the best city in the world, the haves and the have-nots? So a lot of these kind of talk about issues that we're dealing with in our city, but also in cities across the globe. So I would say there's none that specifically are about Chicago.
Oh, well, I'd love to see some. Like, for example, there seem to have been a lot of buildings that were built by students of famous architects who were people of color. There was an architect who built Truman College. It looks a lot like a Mies van der Rohe modern structure, and I wanted to know who had built it. And I found out it was a black architect who did a lot of stuff around the city and really hasn't had an opportunity to have his name, and of course now I'm forgetting the name because I forget everybody's name, out there for the public to acknowledge and to give him his proper respect. He did a lot around here. When people go, let's just broaden this out from the film festival. When people come to the Chicago Architecture Center, what kinds of interactions do they have? What kind of questions are they asking? And also, what is the Architecture Center doing to acknowledge the contributions of non-white male architects?
So the Architecture Center, the reason why I joined, and I've been here a year as the president, is we cover so many aspects of design, as well as so many different members of the public have offerings for. So we have a youth education program. We also have a teen education program. So those are separate. We also have adult education. And all three of those explore architecture generally and specifically in Chicago for those specific age groups. Now, in terms of recognizing architects of color, women, we have relationships with those organizations in Chicago and often hold joint programs. For example, there is a national organization of minority architects that we often hold joint programs with, and they also have an internship program for young adults. So we often work with them as well as firms to place kids now that are interested that may be from our more disadvantaged areas of Chicago into those programs, and also so they can learn about their predecessors in the profession.
That's really important. That is so important. We had somebody speaking with us about the engineering program. I want to say it was with Malcolm X, one of the community colleges, and they're feeding students right into the University of Illinois Engineering School. So it sounds like you're doing something similar there at the Chicago Architecture Center, preparing young people to have these careers. And I should also say that not all creative architects are horrible husbands, wives, sons, daughters. So if you are on like Match.com, just don't scroll right past the architect necessarily. First check to see if they are available really, and then make your decision after that.
I didn't even think about that.
We've totally made all the architects look like any single architect. This has been the biggest like do not date half hour ever in media,
God.
I think.
Well, I'm an architect too, by the way.
Are you single? We need to know. Are you a single person?
You know, I didn't answer your question, though.
You haven't answered my question about whether you're single.
I am single. And
okay.
No other comments.
And no other hidden secret family that you need.
Okay. You'll have to wait for the feature film to come out.
Okay, all right. You took that very well, Ms. Gorski. You adjusted to that nicely. What else did you want to say?
I did want to say that there is a movement in Chicago to recognize architects of color. And before coming to the Architecture Center, I was with the Chicago Landmarks Commission. And the recognition of not just buildings that were created by folks that had previously been unrecognized, but also by clients who had been unrecognized or community groups and cultural groups who commissioned buildings to symbolize you know, what their community is doing in a neighborhood, like the whole neighborhood of Pilsen, community centers that were built for, you know, European ethnic groups that came over that may not be architecturally significant with a capital A, but mean a lot to the city in terms of advancing our culture and our history. Those have also become important. And I think that we as the Architecture Center are looking at architecture differently and how we interpret things on our walking tours as well as the boat tours to take all of that into account. So every time you come in, you're going to see something different.
It's so great that you said that, because just for example, to piggyback on this idea that there's architecture that may not be textbook cutting edge, but that is significant from a community standpoint. I know one of the things that's fun are the non-professionals who have collected history of Black churches or history of the tide houses.
Yeah.
I love those tide houses.
Yeah.
Somebody probably should explain. Can you quickly explain what those are? Because you would do it better than I.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, breweries in Chicago had what they called tide houses, where they would sell their product in different neighborhoods, and each brewery had their own house, rather than where you go to a bar now and you can go in and get 10 different brews. You could get one from Schlitz. Or, you know, I don't know, whatever old style, right, is going to have their own bar, their own tide house. So they were very prolific, because in every working class neighborhood, say you had three or four different breweries, each one had their own house. And you'll see the Schlitz logos around town even now on some of these that survive. And those have been landmarked as a group to kind of memorialize that tradition and that history of Chicago.
Yeah, I think Shuba's is the one that most people have seen. And there's one in Uptown. I believe, and I could be wrong about this, I believe that the tide houses were also in part a response to Chicago's effort to clean up its saloons. And they passed some laws that made it difficult to open a saloon, but the beer companies could open their own
That makes sense.
Like a factory outlet, like when you go to the Jelly Belly jelly bean manufacturer and they give you a big scoop and then you can go to the store. So same idea. It's been a pleasure having you on. And I hope that we haven't frightened you too badly. Joan, whose show this usually is a lot nicer than I am. And so
I've enjoyed it.
I had a great time. And again, the festival begins on the 31st of this month. And if people want to know more about it and look for discounts, which I am advised may possibly be coming, they should go to which website?
Filmfest.architecture.org. And just a quick reminder, we are at 111 East Wacker, accessible via Metra, the city's pedway system, and we have parking in our building, perfect for our cold Chicago outing.
Yes, and the bus stops right at the corner if you take the Michigan Avenue bus.
Absolutely.
You're right there.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being part of the show today and being such a good sport.
Of course.
We'll talk to you again.